Good morning. I'm Celeste Headley. Well, Labor Day is coming up, and we are talking about workplace rights today. There's a new study coming out today that has some pretty surprising results. Worker advocacy groups and universities co-authored the report. We have Annette Bernhardt here. She's the policy co-director of the National Employment Law Project. You helped author this report that's being released today called Broken Laws, Unprotected Workers, Violations of Employment and Labor Laws in American Cities. A pretty long title, but basically coming out of this report, it turns out you yourself may have been surprised by how many violations that you found.
We were definitely surprised. I mean, we had already been hearing from groups on the ground, you know, that workers were coming in. They were saying they weren't being paid the minimum wage or weren't being paid overtime. The problem was that nobody had any data on it. And so we went out. We surveyed 4,000 workers last year, Chicago, New York City, L.A., and we found widespread pervasive violations. I mean, it's a pretty grim story. Workers were not—
Across lots of different kinds of businesses?
Lots of different types of businesses and jobs. Workers weren't being paid the minimum wage. They weren't being paid overtime. They were working off the clock without pay.
But this study basically shows a systematic vulnerability of workers on the low end of the scale, subject to minimum wage and subject to whimsical and capricious hour regulations, and there's no oversight at all.
There's no oversight, and I think it's the systematic part that's really important. I think people tend to think of, you know, oh, this is just the informal economy, you know, it's just at the periphery, it's just a few employers. This is industry by industry. The violations were so prevalent. You know, a quarter of workers didn't get the minimum wage. More than 70% who worked overtime didn't get overtime. And it's industry after industry.
70%.
And, you know, a good example is actually the restaurant industry in New York City, where I think overtime has basically at this point become voluntary. And that's what advocates are telling us as well. And so the pervasiveness is really signaling this is business strategy. This is not one or two employers just deciding to break the law.
Well, we also have Amy Carroll with us. She's with a community center in Brooklyn called Make the Road New York. You're an attorney, and you represent workers who've seen these workplace violations. So why don't they say anything? If they're not getting paid minimum wage, if they're not getting paid overtime, why don't they complain?
Well, I think what Annette reported is really the problem. It's industry-wide, so they think that's just what's allowed to happen. So we have restaurant workers, for example, doing deliveries. If you get deliveries in New York, there's a really high chance that your delivery worker is not being paid appropriately. Workers are working 10, 11, 12 hours a day for maybe $10 a shift, $15, $20 a shift.
$10 a shift, not $10 an hour.
Exactly, exactly. So their take-home pay at the end of the day is incredibly low, and the restaurants just are not paying the minimum wage or overtime to these workers despite their incredibly long hours.
Is this a legal issue, though, in the sense that in this environment, we were just talking in the last hour about people who don't take time off because they're scared for their jobs. These are people, if they even raise their hand and say, what about my overtime? They're worried that they're going to get fired. In this environment, what can you do legally in a situation like that?
I mean, I think enforcement really needs to look strategically at industries, not necessarily just at single employers. So it's a partnership between government agencies like the Department of Labor that really needs to take an aggressive stance on this. Community groups like Make the Road New York, we have over 7,000 low-wage immigrant members. So it's community education about what your rights are and letting people know that they have some place to go, that we can do a protest in front of the employer, we can go to the Department of Labor and really get them the back wages that they're owed.
Annette, she was talking about immigrant workers. Are many of these people who are afraid, are they here illegally? Do we have problems with immigration status as well?
I mean, immigration status definitely plays a role, but the big picture here is all workers are at risk.
Everyone.
I mean, whether you're U.S.-born or foreign-born, men, women, it's really across the board. This is, in the end, it's about where you work and the employer you work for. It's not about who you are. And that's why the type of really aggressive enforcement that Amy is talking about is what we really need. And I would just add—
Well, let me just make this practical, though. I mean, okay, I raise my hand. I say, you haven't paid me for 3 weeks on overtime. I'm really mad about this. Mm-hmm. I get fired because I'm a noisy complainer worker, whatever. Do I have any recourse? Who do I call? And what's the chance I'll get my job back?
So under federal and state law, it's illegal to take a reprisal against somebody for standing up for their rights. Obviously, on the ground,
but it happens all the time.
Exactly. I mean, oftentimes we don't see workers who are willing to do anything until they've left the job, just because the reality is even one day out of work when your wages are so low can be really just terrible for your family. So I think that's why proactive enforcement by community groups, by the Department of Labor, so that restaurants, laundries, car washes know that they're going to be found out and the fines will be really high.
The problem, though, is that for the last 8 years under the Bush administration, you know, the federal Department of Labor was really dropping the ball, and I would say bordering on dereliction of duty. It was weak enforcement, ineffective enforcement. The Government Accountability Office has now issued three reports showing this. So we can't, like Amy said, we can't put the responsibility on workers to come forward when they're vulnerable. It has to be the enforcement agencies. We have to increase funding for investigators. They have to go out there on their own, get back on the ground, and send the signal, you know, compliance is not optional.
So the feds have abdicated. Where are these agencies? Are they state? Are they local? Are they city?
So the federal and state Department of Labor are the main ones, and attorney general's offices. The New York State Department of Labor has been really great in the last couple of years doing proactive enforcement efforts, but it's really time for the feds to get in the picture and get on the ground, like Annetta said.
Another issue, of course, is that this is the first study of its kind, so we don't have any historical data to compare it with. I assume you'll be coming out with more studies in the future give us a data bank.
Absolutely. And, you know, we did the interviews at the beginning of 2008, and even since then, all signs are, you know, the problem has gotten worse, and Amy can probably talk about this as well, but legal services offices are reporting they're getting growing numbers of workers coming in, probably scared to bring cases, but still reporting that they're getting their wages stolen.
Okay.
So I think this is where the economy is heading unless we intervene.
Annetta Bernhardt is the policy co-director of the National Employment Law Project. She co-authored this report called Wednesday, The Broken Laws, Unprotected Workers. We also had Amy Carroll join us. She's an attorney with the advocacy group Make the Road New York. Thanks to both of you.
This is Ira Flato, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.